Good morning, George Watkins here. It's Wednesday and you're there. Thank you for that. Good to see you again. We are on time and on target. Wednesday's always a good day to be alive in Christ and to know who we are and what our purpose is. Amen. Well, confusion can come along and we wonder, am I still loved by God? In the early days, hopefully not as mature people, but in the early days, that certainly came around every once in a while. That's called confusion. And when we come back to the promises, come back to the Word of God, come back to the plumb bob, as they say, we know who we are in Christ. Amen. Well, today, the trouble bubble God dropped in my heart. I'm going to give you some verses. We're going to talk about that just a bit. Before I do, thank you for all the support you have given and give, including subscribing and liking me on Facebook and the thumbs up and the comments and sharing. Thank you so much for that. Also, some of you have been nudged by the Lord to send us a gift and we receive it, put it in the gas tank, and off down the road we go. Thank you for that. Okay, the trouble bubble. Rodney Dangerfield, a well-known comedian in the past decades, had a shtick that he used all the time. I get no respect. And everybody would laugh. And then he would go into his act and tell stories about failures and rejection and, and trouble. And we got a good laugh out of it. Not really thinking about the sorry soul who talks like that, what their life may be like. You say, well, they didn't really mean it. I wonder if we took a deep dive into the background or the lifestyle of some of these people who are always spewing out those type of comments, whether they're kidding or serious, what kind of life would they have? Well, the Bible says in Proverbs 20:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so his actions become. We know that to be a true statement. And because of that, I want to give you a few verses. We're going to talk about the trouble bubble and how to get rid of it, how to get out of it. I really, when I heard that, of course, I see pictures. When a word is spoken, you don't just see a word, you see the picture of the word. If you have that kind of gifting, or even in the natural, I say dog to you, you don't see D-O-G, you see a black dog, a white dog, a red dog, you see the picture. So when we say a trouble bubble, we see someone inside of a bubble and can't get out. They had a rather well-known teenager or boy, I guess he was a boy, maybe a young teenager that was contained in a plastic bubble for his health's sake back in the 50s, I believe it was. They called him the bubble boy, and he had to stay in this environment that was completely pure air, or because he had no immune system, obviously. And they showed pictures of him playing out in that bubble like a hamster, where he would roll the bubble and move around the yard. That's a sad thought and a sad story, but oh, how many people we see moving around our world in a trouble bubble. You see him coming, you hear him talk. You see their head down, their eyes cast down. You see their mouth turned down. You hear their stories, and it saddens you because of the trouble bubble. Well, Jesus gives us the answer to that in his statements. Let me go to a couple of spots here in the Amplified, 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. There's just some important scriptures I want, because the key to getting out of the trouble bubble is always by the Word of God and by the spoken word and the written word. Both of them. Now, If you've been with me a while, you know, when I say the spoken word, I'm not just referring to your preacher and pastor speaking to you about the word. I'm relating or referring to the voice of God, the Father, speaking to you directly about his word. That's the relationship that we are developing. That's where we're going. I don't want to sit in a congregation and listen to someone else tell me how they went into the chamber and talked to God. That's Moses and the children of Israel. That's not you and I. We're this side of the cross. The other side of the cross, they had to have the intercessor and the advocate, you know, the one who stood between them and God. So, you know, when God invited them to the mountain, the whole group, I mean, the entire herd, that's not the proper word, but the tribes, every tribe member was invited to go in to that mountain and up that mountain. They were. And when they got to the mountain, it's shaken and boiling and burping and burning and throwing, you know, fireballs, all kinds of stuff. And they were frightened and they turned back and they said, Moses, you go for us. Go ahead. Just go and take care of it. And he went and spent, 40 days up there with God. When he came back down, he had the Ten Commandments. He had, he came back down and saw them worshiping a golden calf, but that's a side story. When he came back down, he had the Ten Commandments, and his face was brilliant, so bright and lit that they had to put a scarf over him, a mask over it. Now, what happened? They could have gone in. They should have gone in. If they would have gone into that mountain, they would have fulfilled the purpose that God put the Israelites on the globe for, the 12 tribes. It was to be prophets to the nations. Well, they drug their feet on that, and it ended up the Levites, one tribe out of 12. All 12 could have had that anointing. All 12 could have been prophets to the nations. What happened? They did not hear the word of God directly. Well, you and I have come on the other side of the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Have you ever rejoiced that you were born on this side of the redemptive life, on this side of who you are in Christ, and the fact that we weren't born on the other side of the cross? Well, that's a good thought. I think you ought to give that some thought. I just did. I'm rejoicing. All right. Now listen to this. I'm pontificating here. Hold on. Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands, this is the Amplified, by the way, it's a little longer, takes a little more time to get around the point, but it's a good point. Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands. Now, I'm talking about as a man thinks in his heart, so his actions become, listen to this, who thinks he stands, who feels sure that he has a steadfast mind and is standing firm, take heed lest he fall into sin. Now, this is the one who is doing it in his own strength, not the one that understands and receives and believes like you and I, but the one who is self-confident in himself, not the power and the Spirit of God. All right. So, as an example, let's see here. I enjoy my own teaching so much, I get lost in the scriptures here. Hold on. Therefore, okay, steady mind. For no temptation, no trial, regarding as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you. That is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance, and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience. Listen to this. This is an amazing revelation. And such as man can bear. All right, we're talking about the natural man. God built into the natural man the ability to resist the enemy. Why? Because we are just a little lower than God. And Satan is below us. He's been dealt with. He's got his teeth taken out. Jesus dealt with Satan at the cross and gave him the word. Now, you and I have been created a little lower than God himself, but we are in the image of God. Therefore, in the human DNA and all the things that God's put in there, we have the ability to resist the devil. Nancy Reagan said, "Just say no," made a national slogan out of it. And that was dealing with drugs. Just say no to drugs. Just say no to, you know, the habits of life. Now, why then does the natural man, come under temptation? Because they fall under the temptations and the deceptions of the enemy, which is this. You are nothing, he says. You can't resist me, he says. You will fall. You have to have that. You can't live without it. You see, and as the mind then and the inner man without Christ, and sadly to say, even when you have received Christ, if you let yourself begin to dwell on the things that the enemy is speaking to you concerning you and who you are, you will fall to temptation. Why? Because you've taken into your heart, and out of your heart, out of your inner man, you speak. And as you speak, you form your life and your journey. Oh, I just can't do it. Oh, I'm not big enough. Oh, I have no money. Oh, I don't put me in front of that crowd. I can't speak. All those things are coming out of an insecurity that you allow the enemy to get you to think that way. As a man thinketh, as a person, a man or woman, thinketh in their heart, so are they. There's some very famous, popular, and many of them I don't even know who they are, motivational speakers. Some of them have become multimillionaires just teaching you how to talk right and say things right in the natural man. This is the natural man, not the spiritual man. Just think about that. In the natural man, I can be trained to have a good confession. There's some famous books written over the last century on Think and Grow Rich was one of them. And it was teaching the natural man how to think right so that he could speak right. Why? Because this verse here says that the natural man was made to resist temptation. So, what about the guy that's in a trouble bubble? They've got there because of the way they're thinking, and because they're thinking, they speak it, and because they speak it, they stay in that perpetual circle of trouble and brokenness. The only way to escape that is by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, that I know, without Christ, you can manufacture some shifts. It's been done. There's people that have never had a Jesus experience that have come out of brokenness because of the positive attitude and because of the getting a hold of the bootstraps and pulling themselves up. That's God put that in them. God gave us the ability to recover if we would get our mind straight. Now, in no way are we excluding or sidetracking or detouring around Jesus, never. But you and I understand that there's more to this than just living a natural life. Because we, as we come into Christ, we step into the world of eternity, where you and I, those that are that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall have eternal life, everlasting life. We step into a place where it is not just, you know, energized to be naturally healthy, but we have come into a new name, a new place, a new world, a new kingdom, because we are in the kingdom of God, and we are in the spiritual family of God. Wow, isn't that something? Wow. John 7:30 says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he that believeth on me, John 7:30 says, he that believeth on me. Now, what is that? That's taking the word in. When you take the word in, you're believing on Jesus. When you confess and speak out the word, you're believing on Jesus. That's what Paul referred to when he said, confess and believe. It's an interaction of the believing heart, the confessing mouth. Life, the spiritual life never changes. That's just the pattern, and it just increases. The pattern just gets bigger and stronger. You confess and believe all through your journey. It never stops. Now, I'm not just confessing and believing for socks and a suit now. That was the case in the early days. Oh God, give me a suit, you know. And so I went and bought a pair of stretch ski pants, cut off the loop underneath it, and I wore that for ages. I could sleep in the car, you know, and get out, preach the next day, had one sport coat. I was believing God. Well, that's good. That's exercise, but that's not where you stay, because it's a muscle, and you grow in your faith. All right. He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Oh, man. The word of God just is so addictive in the sense that the sweet taste of truth and the life that's in the word of God, not just the written word, but the word that God also speaks to you. James 1 and 5, back here in the back of the Bible, and the Amplified. If any of you is defective or deficient rather in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to every man liberally and ungrudgingly without reproach or fault finding, and it will be given to you. You need faith? This is what James says about it. Pardon me for not looking at you. I'm reading the Bible here, the word. Only it must be in faith that he asks, with no wavering, no hesitation, no doubting. For the one who wavers and hesitates and doubts is like the bellowing surge of the sea that is blown hither and thither. I like the Bible terms. For truly, let no such person imagine that he will receive anything that he asks from the Lord. For being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, he is unstable and unreliable. Now, what's that mean? It means that when my voice speaks out of my heart, I stay with it. When the Spirit of God speaks to me, I speak it out. That's confession. I stay with it. I don't have two minds. I don't wake up in the morning and wonder if I'm saved. I don't get up to preach, wonder if the Holy Ghost is coming. I don't lay hands on the sick and wonder if God's still healing the sick. That's a double mind. When God speaks, it goes into my spirit and out of my mouth, and it stays the same confession. All right, well, the trouble bubble is only bursted, popped by the word of God. The trouble bubble is only changed when you put the word of God in your belly. It will come out a river, a living river of Holy Spirit power, grace, peace, joy, whatever needed. Isn't that something? All right. Well, I've gone a little longer than normal, but it's Wednesday and I can do that. God bless you guys today. I love you. I thank God every day for you. Some of you I know personally by face and by name. Some of you I see in some of the meetings I go to. Thank you for being a part of my life. And thank you for your comments. Thank you for your good thumbs up. Every time I see one, I'm fired up again to keep going on this little journey we're on together. Subscribe, thumbs up, do all the things that help us on the internet. And if God's nudging you to give right down on PayPal or the address, it'll get to us. We pray for you and bless you in doing that. Well, I will see you tomorrow. Tomorrow's Thursday already, one day closer to my favorite day of the week. Now, remember, next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I will be in Rainier, Oregon, supporting the meeting of Todd Smith. He's coming in from Georgia, and it's going to be revival, fire on the water, and it's a baptism of anointing people in the baptisms. We've had two of them so far, three of them, and this is going to be the fourth. It's just an exciting time. So it's the Rainier Assembly of God. We'll be there Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night. If you're in the area, don't miss it. All right. I will see you tomorrow. God bless.